Welcome to the Energy Central Power Perspectives Podcast. This is the show that brings leading minds from the energy industry to discuss the challenges and trends that are transforming and modernizing our energy system. And now our listeners can now submit a recorded question to a future podcast episode. Just look for the SpeakPipe link in the show notes below this episode and leave us a voicemail with a question for our future guest. And a quick thank you to West Monroe, our sponsor of today's show. Now, let's talk energy. I'm Jason Price, Energy Central podcast host and director with West Monroe, coming to you from New York City. And I'm joined once again by the producer of the show, Matt Chester, dialing in from Orlando, Florida. Matt, today we're going to be treated to some unparalleled insight from inside the New York Public Service Commission. For our listeners who may be less plugged into the regulatory environment, can you give an overview of the function and purpose of a public service commission?
Absolutely, Jason. So the Public Service Commission, or PSC, is essentially the referee that ensures fairness and reliability in essential services like energy. You can think of them kind of as the guardians of the public interest, where they're balancing the needs of the consumers, the utilities, and even the environment, all to ensure that everyone is getting a fair shake. So it's a dynamic role. It's constantly juggling regulatory oversight with promoting forward-looking principles, things like innovation and sustainability. But in short, you can just think of the PSC as the watchdogs that are helping to ensure that your lights stay on.
Thanks, Matt. That's helpful. And our guest of honor is a recognized name in the regulatory halls in New York State, and no doubt across the country. She is known for being thoughtful, prudent, and tough as nails when it comes to protecting the interest of the ratepayer. In the coming weeks, Commissioner Diane Berman is stepping down from her seat at the New York State Public Service Commission after 11 dedicated years in that role. Having led many regulatory decisions in the past decade, Commissioner Berman has a unique perspective and not shy in sharing her thoughts about the state of the grid and where the utility sector is heading. And lucky for us, she's agreed to join the podcast to share some of those reflections. And she's not alone, as we are also joined by my colleague and senior partner of West Monroe, Paul Dakotas. Paul previously joined us on episode 56 of the podcast back in 2021 in an episode alongside Con Edison's general manager, Mike Murphy. Paul joins us today to draw from his service as the former energy advisor for two New York State governors. Paul also served on the board of LIPA and NYSERDA and remains an instrumental voice in shaping the energy transformation in the Empire State. Given the close work and respected voice that Paul delivers, we've invited him to join Commissioner Berman to reflect on the past decade and discuss what we expect in the years to come, given the commissioner's legacy. So let's welcome them both to the podcast. Commissioner Berman, Paul Dakotas, welcome to the Energy Central Power Perspectives Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to the conversation. We're really at a critical juncture in our energy future. New York is not alone in looking at how to face the tremendous challenges of increased electric need and demands, and how are we going to do that in a way that is safe and affordable and really ensuring the reliability of the electric grid, or really focused on trying to do this in a way that helps us while we're reducing our greenhouse gas emissions, maintaining affordability for customers, protecting disadvantaged communities, and also looking at how to improve the lives of people and improving the environment for all New Yorkers while advancing clean energy technologies.
Thanks, Jason and Matt. I'm honored to be here with Commissioner Berman. We share many common perspectives on the state of the energy industry and the challenges the industry is facing. We also agree, for the most part, on how utility regulation needs to change to support the transition to a cleaner energy economy.
Commissioner Berman, before I hand the reins over to Paul to ask the tough questions, let's start with your journey. Can you share with us what prepared you to serve on the commission? How did you get appointed? Now looking back, what does it mean to have served, and where do you go from here?
Thank you for the question. I've been a public servant for 28 years in a number of different roles. For me, all of these roles have really helped me stretch out of my comfort zone and learn to figure out how it is that if I'm going to be a leader in the energy world, how it is to succeed. From my perspective, I got on the commission after working first as a staffer for the commission, and then I went and I worked at the New York State Senate and was elevated to the chief counsel role. That really stretched me out of my comfort zone in a time where I really had to. I've been used to being sort of the one behind the scenes writing and not necessarily being out there and negotiating. That experience in the ability to negotiate, think on my feet, work with the team that supported me, really helped me understand that it was important for people to step up. A lot of the issues that came before us really dealt with crucial issues, and I kept finding myself falling back into really liking the energy space. And so when I had the opportunity to be nominated by the governor and then confirmed by the Senate, I took that opportunity. I'm blessed to say that I was nominated twice and confirmed twice, both times unanimously.
Share with us, what has surprised you the most about serving as a commissioner?
Thanks. I think what surprises me the most is that when I explain to people that all energy regulation is economic regulation and that I view myself as an unapologetic economic regulator, that folks don't seem to truly understand what that means, even those in the regulatory space. So let me sort of explain sort of how I see it. My job as an economic energy regulator is dynamic, challenging, and ever-evolving. And what remains at the forefront for me is the importance of ensuring I do all I can to honor the mission to serve the public interest by assuring the delivery of safe, reliable, resilient service at reasonable rates and truly caring about the impact on consumers and the overall economic well-being of New York. And I am mindful that economic regulatory objectives are things like achieving economic efficiency, encouraging investment, promoting competition, mitigating monopoly power, allowing appropriate cost recovery, protecting interest of consumers. And now we also have the consideration of the lens of broader social, environmental, and industry development objectives in our regulatory actions. So for me, when I look at it and see what it is that we're doing from an economic perspective, I think it's really important that folks understand that truly underlying it, a real objective is to ensure that we are maintaining the economic status quo in a way that is helpful. As an economic energy regulator, I approve what infrastructure can be built, at least on a large scale. We determine budget levels for maintaining that infrastructure. We try and influence the utility by offering incentives and are at times threatening penalties to embrace new technologies, to meet certain customer satisfaction thresholds, to embrace new markets. And it occurs for me that this is all textbook economic regulation. We also set tariffs designed not only to recover costs for said investment, but also to influence consumer behavior. And I think this is here where it gets a little sticky, where sometimes energy regulation, economic regulation deviates a little bit from strictly economic in our focus. We don't always choose the most efficient path because we're trying to shape a market and or change consumer behavior. And so we really have to look at some of the conflict as we're trying to regulate well. We often have less info on the markets that we regulate than the industry does as a whole. And we have to confront limited resources in executing our oversight roles. So for me, it's important to kind of look at this and look at how do we measure the effectiveness of the decisions and the impact on infrastructure provisions. And underlying that are the principles of economic regulation and looking at that and how do we do that in a way that makes sense.
Yeah. All right, Paul, over to you. In the introduction, I mentioned that you served on two administrations. So set the stage for us on your relationship and interaction with the commission during your time at the public office, and help us understand, how does the governor interact with the commission? What was the experience like? And of course, I'm sure all our listeners would love to hear some backroom deal making that may have gone on. So don't hold back.
Very funny, Jason. You know what happens in the executive chambers of government stays in the executive chambers in government. But nice try. That said, the working relationship between the governor's office and the Department of Public Service, which serves as staff to the Public Service Commission, is one of mutual respect and independence for the most part. There are obvious political overtones and nuances that often rear their head, but the Public Service Commission is an independent body that bases its decisions on the record in its dockets and proceedings. The governor does recommend appointments, as does the legislature, and the Senate confirms commissioners, but the operations of the department and decisions of the commission are independent. I can say firsthand that when working for the governors, we kept our distance and supported the Public Service Commission to the best of our ability. While decision-making was left to the commission and its processes, the policy overlay did originate from the governor's office as the state's chief executive, working closely, of course, with other departments in government, the state legislature, and of course, business and other stakeholder and community interests.
All right. Well, Commissioner Berman, do you have any interesting experiences you'd like to share?
Oh, thank you so much. Well, first of all, I'd echo what Paul said. I think a lot of the tenets of that are very important. Before I share you sort of my interesting experiences, I will say that I think what is really crucial to our work, and Paul touched upon it, is the true independence of the commission. And this means really having diverse perspectives, proper resources, and technical expertise that has to be encouraged and ensured. We can't allow the erosion of the independence of the regulatory bodies, and we must support an engaged role with individual commissioners working in an integrated fashion alongside the chairs of the regulatory bodies and the staff. And I just want to explain that let there be no misunderstanding as to what the independence of the regulator means. It's important to stress that this concept is not necessarily related to political affiliation. It doesn't mean that we don't ever engage with the executive, legislators, and other interested stakeholders, but truly the sound, informed, prudent independence of the commission, which is at the heart of effective regulation, must be an underlying concept guiding the way as we discharge our fiduciary responsibilities to the ratepayers and, frankly, all energy consumers, with a focus on balancing reliability, environmental sustainability, and properly meeting the needs and demands of all consumers. And from, you know, my sort of interesting experiences, the way I really came to really being, I feel, involved and really a full regulator is my experiences both nationally and internationally. I dealt with going on a lot of educational opportunities internationally, where we shared our best practices that were happening in New York and elsewhere that really helped me engage with other places and learn what they were experiencing, how we were similar, how we were different, how some of the fundamentals of regulatory processes and substantive underlying understanding were really important. And then nationally, I really worked on a lot of different things, including working on several advisory committees with the U.S. Department of Transportation, PHMSA, the Pipeline Safety Administrator. And that really helped me to understand really just how important collaboration and really bringing together diverse perspectives shape how we do regulation and how we can do it well. So I really, for me, my most important substantive roles came about from my experiences both nationally and internationally, and then being able to bring that back to what I'm doing at the state level in regulation.
Great. That's really interesting. So, Paul, we invited you here so that you could sit across the table and ask the commissioner some questions. So do you have any questions you'd like to ask Diane?
Yeah, in fact, I do. But first, I'd like to thank the commissioner for being with us again today. It's really a privilege. So, Diane, you've been in public service for nearly 3 decades. That means you've been involved in plenty of transitions of authority from one gubernatorial administration to the next, and served with several commission chairpersons. And you have seen many changes in policy and legislation that impacts the commission and the industry. Question, what do you find has been key in being able to effectively navigate political winds in order to continue serving the people of New York amidst such changes in leadership and policy?
So I think it's really important. Many times folks see themselves on one side or the other, and I don't really see myself as whether you're in a blue state or a red state, I really think regulators and the importance of it has to be sort of divorced from one particular administration or party. While you have to understand the political implications and the policy implications, you really have to try to effectuate responsible regulation that is going to address the substantive issues, no matter what the administration or the political affiliation is. And that really means it's important, at least as I see it, important to engage with all sides and all stakeholders and really try to find common ground. But again, looking at it, not just from trying to please whoever is in office, but really trying to make sure that you are upholding your responsibility to the ratepayer. And with that, that comes a true need to understand what are you doing to ensure a safe, affordable, and reliable energy system? And what are you doing that's going to have short-term and long-term solutions and be everlasting?
Thank you, Diane. Another question. The pace and significance of change in the utility industry, let's say over the past 10 years, which is brought about by innovations in technology, legislation, and regulation, as well as customer expectations, it's been faster and more impactful than in previous years. How has the evolving energy landscape translated to changes in the relationship between the Public Service Commission and the utility industry? Has the relationship changed in tone? Is regulation changing? And has the way things get accomplished altered in any way?
I think that's a great question. My role as a regulator and having been in this 11 years really is unusual. The life of an energy regulator nationally, they say, is 3 to 4 years. So I really have had a window in seeing a lot of sea change in the industry. But I also used to be a staffer for a number of years as well. So more than half of my public service life has been spent in the energy regulatory world. And I do think that it is harder now, perhaps really getting back to relationship building and really understanding the true technical and operational issues and having lost a lot of people due to retirements and, you know, sort of leaving the energy sector itself, that I think that it's really important that folks look at and understand the true regulatory framework and the expectations. For me, I am concerned about our aging infrastructure. I am concerned about supply chain issues. I am concerned about sort of increased rate pressures in a tougher environment now, in a way that we are having more difficulty in coming to common ground. And our policies, especially some of them that are very well-meaning, aren't necessarily translating into proper cost recovery for the utility. And I think some of this is, and one of the things that I kind of look at it is, some of this is that traditionally, the way we've looked at utilities is that they've been allowed to have cost recovery, collect revenues from customers sufficient to cover the costs of providing services. Now, this recovery includes many different things like all operating costs, power purchase costs, and other necessary investment to maintain safe and reliable services to all customers. So for me, this utility services, which is really looked at our regulatory role in approving cost recovery at a fair and reasonable cost, that's the role of the regulator to determine with the utilities. But it's sort of hitting as a conflict point because we've shifted a little bit in that focus and we've diverged from that in that we are looking at more performance-based regulation, and that's gaining traction across the country. And this shift is really shifting from a traditional regulation to reward utilities now on achieving specific policy objectives, promoting efficient reliability and renewable integration, and really is looking at aligning utility incentives or disincentives with evolving energy goals. And while I think that some form of that may be helpful, I do think that what's causing some disruption and some concern is that we are seeing there is a reaction to the clunkiness of it. a regulator may not necessarily be on the same page as what they mean by performance-based regulation. It's unclear what the achievable outcomes are. Some of the metrics that are being set up in performance-based regulation is actually increasing risk to folks and detracting from the core goals of maintaining a safe and reliable energy system. And so I do think that some of the shift is, are we talking, understanding each other in the same way that we used to? And I think that we need to make sure that we are properly communicating and having conversations around what is it that we are expecting and how are we going to do this with the ratepayer and costs in mind.
That's a great answer. If I could follow up with a quick question. You had mentioned the role of the regulator, the importance of the utility to provide safe and reliable service, but also meet certain public policy goals. And you specifically mentioned performance-based rate making. The utilities, in order to raise capital, as you know, as a regulator, they've got to go to the private markets to raise equity and get buyers for their debt. And as a result, they expect a fair market return on investment. How do you see the industry changing or regulation changing as the industry comes to terms with having to meet public policy goals, which is not their primary objective, having to invest large amounts of capital to meet those objectives, but then being subject to greater risk of recovery through, say, performance-based rate making? Could you opine on that briefly?
Yeah, I think it's something for us to really be concerned about. You know, we do need to look at what is it that we're trying to do and how can we ensure that we are properly overseeing the reliability of the grid and really helping with addressing these core issues. You know, for the first time ever, NERC has come out to say that state policies are one of the negative factors that are causing some reliability concerns, some resource adequacy concerns. And, you know, we are seeing across the board that the feasibility of the energy transition has fundamental risk. And that is going to now trip into and disrupt a lot of the well-meaning energy policies. We know as we are looking at building out with electrification targets for all sectors of the economy, we know that there are going to be new sources of electric demand. We know that we're going to have to deal with the fact that the transmission system needs to be upgraded to ensure efficient delivery of power to all demand sources, as well as reliability. But if our energy policies are not done in a responsible way and are not allowing the regulator to do it in a responsible way, we're going to have some difficulty. Now, I just saw an article the other day that talked about that New England could see resource adequacy troubles, even with billions of dollars in investments. And that, I think, is going to cause some disruption because we have to really look at, and I guess I see it as my job as a regulator is to understand the nature of the vulnerabilities and the overall risk faced in this transition. So as we move forward with our decarbonization goals, we have to recognize that we have to be mindful of ensuring we don't lose reliability and resiliency of the grid. And we also have to recognize that we are putting a lot more pressure on the utilities to perform. But if they can't get proper cost recovery, it's going to make them financially unhealthy. And that is actually going to dramatically impact the customer.
Diane, thank you. That was a very thoughtful response. Thank you.
Fantastic. Paul, great questions. Thank you for that. So given your experience working with the commission and what you've heard today, how would you grade Commissioner Berman's performance and why?
That's a good question, Jason. And I think what I'm going to say is probably what you're already hearing from her. So Commissioner Berman, over her tenure at the commission and even before, has always demonstrated the utmost professionalism in her dealings and has always been respectful of the opinion of others. Even if Diane disagrees, she takes the time to understand and help fashion solutions that deliver the best results for New Yorkers. And I think this is evident just in her response to comments. Diane regularly makes herself available to stakeholders, She provides her honest opinion and perspective on issues and is always led with integrity. So in my observation over the years, the commissioner speaks her mind. She lets you know what she is thinking and how she perceives the issues. Honestly, there's no questioning or guessing what she means. She tells you. Overall, Commissioner Berman has been one of the better commissioners, in my opinion, on the Public Service Commission. And I say this having known and worked with many over the years. So again, hats off to you, Commissioner. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pull on that thread a little bit, because you kind of alluded to, you know, the tenure of working with the commission, but you also have a national perspective working with regulators and utilities across the country. So share with us, how have you seen the relationship and overall interaction between utility and commission change? And Commissioner Berman, I'm going to follow up. I'm going to ask the same question from you as well. So Paul, could you start?
Yeah, sure. That's a good question. And over the years that I've been in the business, I've seen years where regulators and the utilities got along really quite well, hand in hand, sharing mutual interests and objectives and working towards solutions and compromises that benefit customers, again, with safety and reliability top of mind. I've also seen years, depending on the personalities of the commission and utility executives, where there was a lot of hostility and a lot of mistrust. Where I think we are now, I think we're at a juncture where the relationship between regulators and utilities has to evolve from where it is today. It is not a homogeneous relationship across the country. I don't believe it is wise or sustainable to keep demanding more investment by utilities in pursuit of public policy goals, and then not allowing utilities to recover costs and earn a reasonable return on investment while also keeping costs low. This is a very difficult challenge, and this is where emotions come to play and people get very positional. This is becoming increasingly challenging, I believe, for the commissioners and the utilities to find common ground. As the commissioner said earlier, there is an expectation, and it is the regulatory compact, that the utilities receive their costs for providing reliable service and a fair return to investment.
Very nice. Commissioner Berman, anything to follow up on?
Yeah, I think Paul is really hitting an important underlying theme, is we really have to be mindful that the path forward is really important, and it's going to require all of us collaborating to help shape our energy future. And it requires a lot of sort of multiple resources, multiple thinking, out-of-the-box, cost-effective solutions. Our bread and butter as regulators is generally our policies are folded into our rate cases, and that helps us look at the prudency of what we're doing. But if what we're doing is going to set up state energy policies that are divorced from looking at what does it mean from a cost perspective? What does it mean from a reliability perspective? What does it mean from a technical and operational perspective? We're actually going to go backwards, not forwards. And I do think that we have to lean into talking to those experts, whether it's at the ISO, in New York, it's a one state ISO, so the New York ISO, a reliability council, and also engaging with the utilities who are really the ones who are on the ground and have the operational expertise to be able to share what they're seeing, what their customers want, and how to properly plan for it. And I am worried that we are setting up this sort of fail for the utilities, because the utilities will not be able to do all that they need to do if they're not able to get prudent cost recovery. And I think it's really something we have to grapple with. We're seeing across the country a reaction to sort of saying to the utilities, we want you to do more, 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 more. But then when they get to their rate cases, they're told, sorry, we can't approve this because the costs are too much. And if what's baked into the rate cases that are causing such an increase are the actual underlying policies, we have to take a look at that and figure out what do we need to do to help ensure responsible transition with our decarbonization and grid infrastructure improvements.
Yeah, for sure. So there's no doubt such complexities and no easy answers. So Commissioner Berman, as you step down, I mean, you have pretty big shoes to fill. Any advice to the next person who's going to be stepping in them, and any words of wisdom to share with the staff as you leave them?
Yeah, I think that it's really, for me, I have been very blessed in being an energy regulator, that from my perspective, all that I've wanted to do is to ensure that I'm leaving a positive legacy where I am mindful of the need to balance reliability, environmental sustainability, and the cost of energy supply, and look at how we can help meet the needs and demands of consumers and support the growth of our economy. I think for the commissioner that's coming to take my role, I want to speak a little bit from the heart and tell her, first, breathe. Take time to understand what it is that you want to do. Take time to understand what's been done. Lean into the staff who really can help support you. Make sure that you understand you're not taking my seat. This is now your seat, and it's your seat to figure out what is it that you want to achieve and how can you be a positive force in making sure that we are following the mission of ensuring affordable, safe, secure, and reliable access to energy. And be careful in knowing that you're going to not necessarily please everyone. Your role is not to please everyone. Your role is a fiscal responsibility and a fiduciary responsibility to the ratepayers and to ensuring the public interest is done. Don't let yourself get derailed with shiny objects. Understand those shiny objects, but understand what it is at your core and what is it that your principles are that you want to make sure you're sticking to, and being open to working and figuring out how can we do it in a way that makes sense for everyone.
Important insight from two heavyweights in the energy industry. I want to thank you both for your wisdom and sharing your time here. We are going to give you the final word, both of you, but we're going to pivot now to what we call the lightning round, which gives us an opportunity to learn a little bit more about you, the person, rather than you, the professional. We have a series of questions we'll ask, and we ask you to keep your response to one word or phrase. Are you both ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Fantastic. All right, so we'll start with the commissioner first and then followed by Paul. So first question, what's the last book you couldn't put down?
Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl.
The Good Earth by Pearl Buck.
If you could master any skill or hobby overnight, what would it be?
Hands down, it would be ensuring that I am understanding languages and learning languages fluently.
I have a similar response. It's speaking and writing fluently in several languages.
Favorite way to unwind after a long day?
Running while listening to podcasts like Energy Central.
And other than an occasional glass of bourbon, I'd have to say hiking in the woods with my dog at dusk.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Make sure you're living a purposeful life, doing good, and being kind.
This is a little longer, Jason, than you expect, but two of my favorites readily come to mind. First, retribution is like setting yourself on fire and hoping the other person dies of smoke inhalation. And the second is, anything worth doing is worth doing well.
What motivates you the most?
For me, helping to bring out solutions that are centered from a wide variety of different perspectives and looking at how can we bring people together in solving situations.
Similarly, you can have activity without accomplishment, but you can't have accomplishment without activity. I am motivated most by manifesting the desired outcome.
We are lucky to have Commissioner Berman join us, the first commissioner to ever join the podcast. So we plan to have future commissioners join us as well. So is there any question you'd like to pose to a future commissioner or head of the regulatory body?
I think if I would be speaking to the head of a regulatory body, I think it's important. I've had in my time, both as a staffer and a commissioner, I've had close to 10 different, probably now 11 different chairs of New York PSC. So I think the really important thing is I would want to ask them to explain how they believe they can be effective and what they see as important to prepare themselves, be ready for the challenge, and well-versed in what we're doing, what we've done, and where we intend to go? And how do they plan to ensure that their legacy is a good one, not just for their time, but for the ones that come after them?
And I have one, Jason. It's not a question, but more of a suggestion. I would suggest that they remember that it's not about you. It's about public service.
Nicely done. And now we want to give Commissioner Berman the chance to have the final word of today's episode, recalling that in our podcast, you're speaking directly to an audience of utility professionals. Can you share your advice with these decision makers? What do utilities need to be cognizant of when it comes to working with regulators?
So this is, I think, a hard one. I think that it's really important for utility professionals to understand just how personal energy is. Everyone has a particular story of the time that they didn't have access to energy, whether it was for a minor blip when the lights went out during a storm, or whether it was a significant one where it might be for several days or several weeks. And the importance of that is really to understand just how central they are to really being a part of ensuring that people are able to live productive lives. And that really, for me, understanding that there's a lot of pressure, but they really do make a difference in ensuring being a part of an effective energy system. And we need more people in this space helping to understand the technical and operational issues to get to a better grid.
And for Paul, who has known and worked alongside the commissioner, striving for similar goals for people of the Empire State, any final words as Diane transitions to civilian life?
Not really. I just think, as we've explored on this podcast today, that the challenges the industry is facing are just tremendous. And if we're going to meet clean energy goals and decarbonization goals, we need to spend enormous amounts of capital. And I just would suggest that we're at a point, at a juncture here, where the public needs to understand what this is going to cost and what changes are going to be required in behaviors. And I think we just have to get to it.
This has been a great conversation. I want to thank you both for joining us today. Commissioner Berman, Paul Dakotas, thank you. And I want to echo Paul's sentiments. As a New Yorker at heart, Commissioner Berman, I want to thank you for your many years of devoted public service. I know our community will eagerly listen to this episode or maybe read the transcript, and we'll have questions and comments for you too. So let's keep the conversation going on EnergyCentral.com's community. Until then, though, we just want to thank you for sharing your insight with us on today's episode of the podcast.
Thank you.
Matt, Jason, and Diane, it's always a pleasure to spend time with you exploring some pretty heavy issues in the industry. Thank you.
And once again, you can always reach Commissioner Berman and Paul Dakotas through the Energy Central community platform, where they welcome your questions and comments. And if our listeners have a question they want to have answered in a future episode of the podcast, and even hear their own voice on an upcoming episode, we started this year offering that opportunity. Listeners can head to the SpeakPipe link we will leave in the show notes, where you can leave us a recorded message, including a question you're eager to have answered on a future episode of the podcast. We'll listen through them, pick out the right guests in our upcoming lineup to address them, and you'll hear yourself as part of the conversation. We also want to give a shout out of thanks to the podcast sponsors that made today's episode possible. Thanks to West Monroe. West Monroe is a leading partner for the nation's largest electric, gas, and water utilities, working together to drive grid modernization, clean energy, and workforce transformation. West Monroe's comprehensive services are designed to support utilities in advancing their digital transformation, building resilient operations, securing federal funding, and providing regulatory advisory support. With a multidisciplinary team of experts, West Monroe offers a holistic approach that addresses the challenges of the grid today and provides innovative solutions for a sustainable future. Once again, I'm your host, Jason Price. Plug in and stay fully charged in the discussion by hopping into the community at EnergyCentral.com, and we'll see you next time at the Energy Central Power Perspectives Podcast.